I'd like to devote our remarks this evening to Hanukkah. And normally our minhag in the pre-chag sessions is to divide our time between a matter of halacha and then a matter more of thematic interest. This evening we'll see the two are very much interconnected. And I'd like to begin by taking a look at the classic story of Hanukkah as presented in the Gemara, in Maseches Shabbos, Taf Kaf Aleph Amud Beis. As we know, Hanukkah doesn't have its own Masechta, not of Mishnayos, not of Gemara, and most, if not all, of its halachas are concentrated within just one or two dapim, a couple of dapim, in the beginning of Bamei Madlikin, speaking about what and likes for Shabbos. We then move to Hanukkah, and once we're in, we clear the whole thing. And at a certain point, interestingly, not at the beginning, the Gemara goes through a number of halachas of Hanukkah before it then asks the question, my Hanukkah, what's Hanukkah? And even that question, what is Hanukkah, needs investigation. What is exactly the Gemara asking, my Hanukkah? What is what about Hanukkah? But in any event, the Gemara tells us, quotes the Braisa, the Tana Rabbanan, Bekafe Bekislev, on the 25th of Kislev, Yom de Chanukah, the days of Chanukah, Tamani Inu, 8 days, Delo le Mitzbad Behom, Velo le Sanu Behom. That there's no Hesped and there's no Tanis. And this is really from Megillah Tanis, which is the scroll which had all these special days for the Jewish people, of which two remain for us today, that is Chanukah and Purim. Sheker Shenit Nasu Yevonim Lehechel, for when the Greeks entered the Heichal of the Beis HaMikdash, Timu Kol Hashmanim Sheba Heichal, they contaminated all of the oil, Tomei, made them Tomei. Ukashagav Ramalchus Beis Chashmonai Benitzchum, and when the house of Chashmonai overpowered them and defeated them to the degree that they did at that time, Bodku Velo Motsu Elapach Echad Shel Shemen, they searched, they only found one a jar of oil, Shayamunach Bechosama Shekohen Gadol, only one that still had the seal of the Kohen Gadol intact, Belohayobo Edelahadlik Yom Echad, and it only had enough oil for one day. Nase Bones, a miracle occurred, Bidlikim Vimenu Shmona Yomim, and they were able to light for it for 8 days, which gave them enough time to enter a state of Tahara and then process new oil for the menorah. That's in a sense, the end of the story, and that's like the culmination of the story. Lashon Acheres, next year, literally in another year, but practically means the subsequent year, Kiva'um v'sa'um yomim tovim b'halal v'hodah. They instituted them and made them yomim tovim for halal and hodah. Now, a very interesting question raised by Rishonim and Achronim is, why is it that the institution of Hanukkah was Lashana Acheres, the next year? What about the first year? And the Gemara seems to make a point of it, Lashana Acheres. Well, there are a number of responses to this question, some of them even very practical from the Rishonim. They say that really, in a sense, the question is, what is Hanukkah coming to mark? What's it coming to celebrate? Of course, we light the menorah, and as soon as we light the menorah, we think of the miracle with the menorah. But Hanukkah is more likely to be predominantly about the miracle of defeating Greece, the miracle of the war. We would not have made a Yom Tov just over the miracle with the oil. Had there been no war, and very simply for other reasons, they didn't find tahor oil, and a miracle occurred, we'd know of it as a miracle, but it wouldn't make it into a Yom Tov or a Chag. So the basis of Hanukkah is really about our victory at that time, standing up for what we stood up for and to whom we stood up, and it's about the war. That said, there is no question that the miracle with the oil plays a role in the institution of Hanukkah, which can be seen very simply by the fact that Hanukkah is 8 days long. As if to say, if the Chag is only for the miracle of the war, then Hanukkah would be one day, just like Purim is one day. I mean, we know of such things. But it's 8 days. which means there is some type of synergy, there's some type of corroborative effect of the miracle with the oil together with the miracle of the war. And that gives you the full Chag of Hanukkah, and ends up being 8 days, because the miracle with the oil happened for 8 days. And therefore, say Rishonim, in anticipation of the full shape and the full form of the mitzvah of Hanukkah, it was very difficult that first year to institute Hanukkah, because no one knew how long Hanukkah was going to be. No one knows until, in a sense, until Hanukkah is over that first year, how long Hanukkah is. Because as much as we put in for a nes, as much as we use the Torah oil, we didn't know a miracle would occur, and we didn't know how long it would occur for. Will it be for another day? Will it be for 2 or 3 days? Which means that you really need to see it through and then find out how long Hanukkah is, in which case the first Hanukkah to actually institute as Chag will be the next year. That's one approach. Interestingly, I made mention of a tshuva of Rav Waldenberg and the Tzitz Eliezer, and he actually spoke about this within the context of the Six-Day War. And he suggests perhaps there's another reason why they did not institute a Yom Tov that year. And that is, unlike Purim, where, and although we were under threat of total annihilation in Purim, when things actually turned out the way they did, no one suffered. There were no casualties on our side on Purim. It was absolute. What was on the cards was complete annihilation, and what happened at the end was no one was affected. It was a total, in a sense. In the story of Hanukkah, that's not the case. As if to say, in principle and generally, there was victory, but it was not without casualties on our side. As we know, you read the literature, you read the Sefer Maccabim and the Megillas Antiochus, and in a sense, therefore, that first day, and Hanukkah came straight on the day of the war, Chanukah Hei, the very day the war ended, was the day they went to the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, Waldenberg states that perhaps it was in consideration of those many families that were actually grieving fresh losses at the time of Hanukkah. That was not considered appropriate to make it a Yom Tov that year. They gave it a year, and ultimately, the enduring theme is it is a Yom Tov, but that was a year of consideration for those who had other matters to consider at the time of the original Hanukkah, their own losses, whoever suffered them. A third approach, and for us the final approach to this question this year, and again the question is why did they wait a year, is to be found in the drushes of Rav Vosner Zatzal, Shevet HaLevi, the famous of Shmuel Vosner. He's known for his Piskei Halacha, but of course Yad of Ravlo, he has drushes as well, and what to say in many areas of Torah. And he refers us to a very interesting discussion of the Bnei Yisoschar, the great Hasidic Rebbe Bnei Yisoschar, Tzvi Elimelech Shapira. And Bnei Yisoschar discusses the Nusach that we say in Al HaNisim, for both Bechanukah and for Purim. We say Al HaNisim, Al HaPorka, Etetra, Al HaShuas, Al Mechomas, Shasis Al HaVaseinu, Bayamim Ahem, Bazman Hazeh, in those days, at this time. And what's the meaning of in those days at this time? The miracle was done in those days, and therefore the question is, what is the meaning of the words Bizman Hazeh? And Bnei Yisoschar raises an interesting question, and that is, the fact that a miracle occurred, and even a miracle that, shall we say, affected the Jewish people or the heart of the Jewish people, doesn't always result in that day becoming a Yom Tov. For example, we do not have Yomim Tovim commemorating the original conquest of Eretz Yisrael, even though there were miracles for sure involved, and the whole thing obviously, but even open miracles like Yericho, or the war with Yoshua, Shemen Begivodo, the Areach Be'emek Ayalon, again, open miracles, but that day is not marked, Ledoros, for subsequent generations, as a Yom Tov. And even when we were in grave danger, for example, in the time of Chizkiyahu HaMelech, surrounded by Sancheriv, Jerusalem was under siege, and overnight the entire Syrian army was wiped out, 185,000 people. And we know of it, and we appreciate it, but we don't mark it as a Yom Tov. Which leads us to an interesting question as to what is it that determines the days where we mark those miracles that translate into a Yom Tov on a yearly basis, subsequent years and subsequent generations. And Bnei Tzotzkar says, there's many ways to say it, he says it in his Hasidic, Kabbalistic terminology, but in order for a miracle to result in a Yom Tov every year, the miracle has to have been of the type where it imbues that day with a certain quality that resurfaces every year. Surely, again, Lahavdil, Ben Kodesh, Lakodesh, we say about Pesach, it's Zman Cheruseinu, we say about Sukkot, Zman Simchaseinu, Zman Matan Teruseinu. It's that time. In other words, those events were so impactful that they imbued those days with that quality, and it comes back each time, every year. And therefore, when we meet it, we meet those days, and it has that effect every year. It resurfaces every year. Similarly, with regards to these miracles, many miracles occurred for us in our history, but the ones that really brought with them a certain quality to the day, that results in a Yom Tov when we meet that day again in the coming years. It's very interesting. I saw just this morning the She'iltas of Rabbi Haigon when he discusses the Brach of She'asa Nisim Laveseinu, which we really say on Chanukah and Purim, She'asa Nisim Laveseinu. And again, we say them because we commemorate miracles. But the way the She'iltas describes it is very interesting because he grafts it together with another well-known halacha. If one sees a place where a miracle occurred, that's the beginning of the ninth parak of Brachas, Haroem Mokum Shenasa Bernes di Yisrael. If one sees a place where a miracle occurs, he makes a bracha, Baruch Shasen Neis Lavaseinu B'mokum Azeh. If he sees where Bnei Yisrael crossed the Yam Suf, and if he sees various different places. And then, says the She'iltas of Rabbi Haigon, and when a person comes to a time where miracles happen to Yisrael, he also makes a bracha, She'asa Nisim Laveseinu Bayamim Ahen Bazman Azeh. And what's fascinating about this formulation of the She'iltas is that really he is associating the bracha of She'asa Nisim in time with the bracha of She'asa Nisim in space, as if to say there are certain places that if you arrive at that place, you make a bracha, and there are certain points in time when you arrive at that point, you make a bracha. She'asa Nisim Laveseinu is to time what She'asa Nisim B'makom Hazeh is to place. They're essentially the same. But really what that means is that when you reach that point in the year, you're back at that place again, because it's still there, the quality still exists there in the day. Not just a calendar date of commemoration, but there's something still there to imbue the day with that status of a Yom Tov. Well, and therefore, says the Bnei Sosar, that's why we say She'asa Nisim Laveseinu. When do we say that? By Amin Mahem, if the miracle not only happened in those days, but it's also Bezman Hazeh, it persists in this time, at this time each and every year, that quality can be perceived again, resurfaces again. And therefore, says Rav Osner, what's interesting about Chanukah, Chanukah is the last of the Drabanon holidays, per se. And it's actually the first of the Drabanon holidays where there were no Nevi'im. In other words, go find out now, or go know whether the quality that exists in this first year, will it happen again next year? How can one know? If it's the Torah knows. If it's Purim, Mordechai and Esther are Nevi'im, they know. And in Hanukkah, there's no Nevi'im. They have their, of course, high spiritual sensitivities, but no one knows what will happen this time next year. And therefore, says Rav Osner, it could be that they needed to wait a year and then meet Hanukkah again and then see whether the days yet had the quality of the first Hanukkah, because then they would know that it qualifies as one of those miracles that actually gives the status of Yom Tov to those days. And therefore, they waited a year, and sure enough, the Shana Acheres came around again, Ayidei Kohanecha Kadoshim, came Chanukah, and they saw these 8 days still had the quality of that was instilled within them a year earlier, and that's the point that they made it into a Yom Tov, Asom V'Yom Tovim, Nahalo V'Hodah. So these are three of actually many different answers that are given to the interesting question, why was it that Chanukah was only instituted as a Chag, as Yom Tovim, a year after the actual Chanukah itself? Okay, now the words that I'd like to focus on now for a few moments, more perhaps, are the concluding words of the Gemara, which state, again, Lashon Acheres, Kiba'um v'asa'um yamim tovim, they established them and made them yamim tovim, behalel v'hoda'a, in halel and hoda'a. Okay, now, the question is, what's halel, what's hoda'a? One of them is much easier or more straightforward to answer than the other. Halel is halel. As we know, we say halel on Hanukkah, that's part of the institution of Hanukkah. That's halel. Okay. What is hodah? And how does that express itself? Rashi tells us that, in his words, likwas halel, velomar al hanissim behodah. The two institutions of Hanukkah, halal and hodah. So halal takes the form of saying halal, and hodah takes the form of saying al hanisim within hodah. When Rashi says al hanisim within hodah, he means within the hodah section of tefillah, namely after modim. Right? Modim is modim anach lach. That's hodah, thanksgiving. And apropos of that, within that context, we say al hanisim. That's how Rashi explains the idea of hodah. And it's very interesting just to take a moment, and here we will discuss in somewhat the halachic vein, the things that we add on Hanukkah, specifically also Purim, which we'll get to on the one hand, and let's say other additions that we make on special days in the davening on the other hand. Namely, your weekday Shmona Esrei, if it's Rosh Chodesh, you'll add Ya'aleh v'yavo. If it's Chol HaMoed, you'll add to the Shmona Esrei Ya'aleh v'yavo. So in Hanukkah, we add Al HaNisim. On Rosh Chodesh, we'll take as our example, we add Ya'aleh v'yavo. But it's interesting that as similar as they are so far, you add this, you add that, but they're actually quite different in two key respects. The first respect is what happens if a person unfortunately forgot to add what he was meant to add. He forgot to say Ya'aleh v'yavo on Rosh Chodesh, or he forgot to say Al HaNisim on Hanukkah, which he should not do, but he did. Well, the halacha differs between each of these two. As we know, on Rosh Chodesh and Chol HaMoed, if you finish Menai Esrei and you didn't say Ya'aleh v'yavo, the whole thing is fafalan, right? It's like you didn't daven. You've got to go back for the beginning and say Ya'aleh v'yavo. And don't forget this time. And, well, what about Hanukkah? It happens to be that if a person went through the Holy Shemana and forgot to say Al HaNisim, he doesn't go back. From a certain point of view, that's worse, because he can't even fix it. But he doesn't go back. So that's our first question. Why is it that if one davens without mentioning Rosh Chodesh and Ya'aleh v'yavo, so he has to go back? But if he davens without mentioning Al HaNisim, he doesn't have to go back. It's also very interesting to note, important halacha, for those that can catch themselves, what happens if a person didn't mention it in its proper place, but he does remember before he took his three steps back? So is there, can he fix it? Is there anything he can do? Well, on Hanukkah, the halacha is, if he didn't remember it in its time, but he's in a kind of tzor, and he hasn't yet taken his three steps, so you say it then. He can say it then. He can say it at the end of the Shmona Esrei. Shmona Esrei is actually officially over already, because Elokai Netzor is not part of Shmona Esrei, but he's still within that setting, and he can say it then. There's no such thing on Rosh Chodesh. Even if a person remembers before he's taken his three steps back, it's good that he remembers, but he goes back to Ritzei. He doesn't just say Ya'aleh v'yavo now. You've got to go back to Ritzei. It's got to be in its proper place. So similarly, therefore, the question will be, why are these two different? Why is it that on Hanukkah, you forgot the proper place, you can add it in later on. But here, Rosh Chodesh, you forgot the proper place, go back to the proper place. Well, the Gemara gives us the basic distinction. And the Gemara says that the rule is, on a day that you have Musaf, so then you go back. If you, for example, if you missed out the whole thing, missed it completely, you go back. On the day where there's no Musaf, you don't go back. Rosh Chodesh and Chol HaMoed, where there's a Korban Musaf, and actually we daven Musaf on those days, there's a Musaf. So if there's a Musaf, so then you go back if you missed out Ya'aleh v'yavo. But on Hanukkah there's no Musaf, I mean unless it's Rosh Chodesh, but on Hanukkah there's no Musaf, and therefore you don't go back. And still the question is, what difference does it make if it's a Musaf day? Because we're not talking about Musaf. We're talking about Shacharis or Mincha. We're not talking about Musaf. So why does it make a difference that it's a Musaf day and therefore you go back if you missed out Yalavir? So this question is discussed, Baruch Hashem, by Reb Leib Mintzberg, who continues to publish, or they publish his works. And a volume came out on Hanukkah, and like everything else he writes, it's an absolute delight. Opens the eyes. And Reb Leib Mintzberg says as follows. We know that there's a very close connection between Tfilah, Shemana Esrei, and Korbanos. We say Tfilah's connected, Tmidin Tiknum. The Tfilah corresponds to Korbanos. Shacharis to the morning, Mincha to the afternoon, evening to the burning of the Korbanos. Now, on a day, and we see this very clearly, because on a day where there would be a Korban Musaf, we have an extra Tfilah called Tfilas Musaf. But what's important to note is that on a day where there's a Korban Musaf, the Gemara tells us in Maseches Zochim, not only does the Musaf have extra Kedusha, but all of the Tfilas of that day have extra Kedusha. Pardon me, all of the Korbanos of that day have extra Kedusha. As if to say, once again, on a day where there's Musaf, not only is the Musaf an extra special Korban, all the Korbanos on a Musaf day are holier than that Korban would be on another day. So says the Gemara. And therefore, says Reb Mintzberg, if Tfilah corresponds to Korbanos, and every Korban on a Musaf day is holier, then every Tfilah on a Musaf day has to be holier, so to speak. Every Tfilah on a Musaf day, even if it's not Musaf, it could be Shacharis or Mincha or Maariv, but it has to have an extra special quality, and that's an integral part of that Tfilah. It's like a Musaf Dika Shacharis, or Musaf Dika Mincha. And therefore the tefillah changes, the essence of the tefillah changes. On Rosh Chodesh, no tefillah can be without a mention of Rosh Chodesh, because otherwise it's just ordinary, quote-unquote. And therefore, on a Rosh Chodesh day, if you missed out Yalla V'Yava, if you missed out the thing that makes it special, you've actually impaired the tefillah. As far as this day is concerned, it's like you didn't daven yet, and that's why you have to daven again. Whereas, by contrast, when it comes to Chanukah, the Alanisim, it's not part of the Tfilah in the way that Yalla V'Yavo is part of the Tfilah on Rosh Chodesh. Alanisim is its own thing. It's called Hodah, except that the most appropriate place, the setting for Hodah, the setting to say Alanisim, is within Modim. That's for sure. However, because it's not an integral part of the tefillah in that way, if a person missed it out, we wouldn't look upon him as if he hasn't davened that Shacharis or Mincha. That's why he wouldn't have to repeat it. And moreover, he can't go back because he's already finished Shacharis or Mincha. But that also explains why the placement of Alanisim is not as fixed, it's not as rigid as Yalla V'Yavo is. If Yalla V'Yavo is actually part of the tefillah, it's got its place in the tefillah. You can't say it later on. You may go back for it if you catch yourself in time, but you can't say later on. Its place is here. This is what this tefillah looks like. Whereas for Alanisim, it's never a part of the tefillah in that way. The tefillah is the broad setting for it. Ideally, modim, but if necessary, b'diyeved. If a person only remembers at the end, he says it at the end. So it's very interesting to see how an understanding really of the nature of what it means to say Alanisim, because it's Hoda'a, it's not part of Tefillah per se, it gives us a different halachic outcomes when we compare it with such seemingly similar days as the Yalla V'Yavo and Rosh Chodesh, etc. And so, we see that saying Alanisim on Chanukah is quite different than saying Yalla V'Yavo on Rosh Chodesh. But the truth of the matter is, it's different ultimately even than saying Alanisim on Purim. In other words, even within the subdivision of the Alanisims, which are in Modim, Chanukah and Purim are still not exactly the same, for reasons that we should already be able to appreciate. Namely, the original takana of Chanukah was Yemei Halel V'Hodah. Those are the days. Those are the central mitzvahs of the day. Halel and Hodah. Now, Hodah, Rashi tells us, takes the form of saying Alanisim. That means that when you say Alanisim, Matzah ben Yochanan, when you go through the whole thing, you are fulfilling a mitzvah of Hanukkah called Hodah. No such mitzvah exists, interestingly, on Purim. There is no mitzvah of Hodah on Purim, which then takes the form of saying Ananisim on Purim. Purim has got its own mitzvahs. I mean, it's got a load of mitzvahs, but it doesn't have, this is not one of them. You want to tell the story, you don't have to tell the story in Ananisim. You tell the story blow by blow in Megillas Esther and leave no detail unmentioned. And therefore, when we mention Alanisim on Purim, it's not because of Hodah, it's very simply because it's a special day, and one should mention it, what's called Me'ein HaMa'ora. We mention that every special day should be referenced. And thus we find that even these 2 days, if we have a keen eye, even the days of Purim and Chanukah, where we say Alanisim, and they're so similar, and they're side by side in the Siddur, but something different is going on with them. And Chanukah, it's the mitzvah of Hodah, in addition to mentioning a special day, which we always do, it's the fulfillment of the mitzvah of Hodah, whereas, which we don't do really explicitly in any other setting. We don't tell the story of Chanukah in any other place other than here. Whereas for Purim, it is just, quote-unquote, mentioning a special day, but the full story you'll hear elsewhere. And indeed, the Pachad Yitzchak, Rav Yitzchak Kuttner, in Chanukah, in Ma'amar Beis, explains that this is why Alanisim for Chanukah ends differently than Alanisim for Purim. It's very interesting. Because if you look at the Seder, you'll see that the Alanisim for Purim is much shorter than the one for Chanukah, even though, you know, one could really bring in many details. But specifically, we more or less tell the story, and as soon as we finish telling the story, we go weiter. We continue. You frustrated his plans, and then they killed him. The solo service banava the eighth, and we continue Shmanayasre. Meaning, as soon as we finish telling the story, that's all we came to do, to tell the story. It really, in brief detail. When it comes to Chanukah, it's for the most part similar. A bit more details. Matzisheo ben Yochanan, etc., Yavan, and you helped us, and that's the end of the story. But Alanisim doesn't end when the story ends. Alanisim ends with the words, V'kobu shmonas yimei Chanukah elu lehodos ulehalel l'shimcha ha'gadol. That's very interesting. The end of Alanisim for Chanukah is not when the story ends, it ends with telling of the institution of Chanukah. But there is no parallel in Purim where we say Kavu Yemei Purim Ha'ele LeMishta LeSimcha or something. There is no parallel ending. Why is it that Chanukah ends off with this and Purim doesn't? And our Futner says the answer is based on what Rashi has told us, because Alanisim on Chanukah is doing more than what Alanisim on Purim is doing. Alanisim on Purim is there to remember the day, and we remember the day. Alanisim on Chanukah is there as Hodah. And therefore, we don't just tell the story, but we conclude by stating what it is that we've done. That's why we conclude Alanisim al Chanukah with the words, V'kobu yimei shmonas yechanukah elu, lehodos ulehalel. That's what, and which we've just done, to ensure that that aspect of the Alanisim is also referenced. What's very interesting is, if we keep an eye on the details, the Gemara told us that Chanukah was instituted as 8 days, the Hallel, the Hodah. Hallel and Hodah. When we conclude Alanisim, we say, the Kav or Shmonis Mechanukah Elu, Lehodos Ulehalel. So the Gemara told us it was for praise and thanksgiving. But we conclude and say for thanksgiving and praise, Lehodos Ulehalel. So which is it? Why is the order reversed? Well, says Rav Mintzberg, very simply, in principle, the order is Hallel and Hodah, like the Gemara said. And that's the order that you'd always use it. Unless you're in the middle of Hodah, in which case you will give voice to that aspect first. In other words, Alanisim is in the context of Hodah. It's in Modim, and that's what we're doing with Alanisim, is the Hodah. So if you're doing the Hodah, so certainly you'll mention Hodah before Hallel in that context, Lehodos Ulehalel. But generally, when you're not involved in either, you would say Lehalel, the Hallel of the Hodah. So as we can see, even in things that we're so familiar with, from the Siddur, etc., there's a great deal of insight to be gleaned from paying attention to many of the details. Thus far, we have discussed the Gemara, which says that they instituted Hanukkah as days of Hallel and Hodah in Rashi's approach, that Hallel is Hallel, and Hallel is safe, and Hodah is Al Hanisim. However, there is another approach, and that is to be found in the writings of the Riaz. Now, the Riaz, which stands for Rabbeinu Yishaya Acharon Zal, Rabbi Yishaya the later, the last Rabbi Yishaya. Who was the last Rabbi Yishaya? Well, to be distinguished from the first Rabbi Yishaya. There were two scholars, two Rishonim in Italy, in a town called Trani, and their grandfather and grandson, and they both had the name Rabbeinu Yishaya. And the first, therefore, the first Rabbeinu Yishaya, he's the Rid, Rabbeinu Yishaya de Trani, and then his grandson, in order to distinguish him from his illustrious grandfather, was called Rabbeinu Yishaya Acharon Zal, the second, the last Rabbeinu Yishaya. Okay, in short, the Riaz. And what does the Riaz say? He explains that the institution of Hanukkah commenting on the Gemara, and again, the words of the Gemara is Kivaum, Vasaum, Yamin Tovim, Behalal the Hodah, and we focus on the words Halal and Hodah, says the Riaz. What's Halal, what's Hodah? Shegomim Behemet the Halal. We complete Halal every day, which we do. Vumodim al Hanes, Behadlokas Haneros. And we thank Hashem for the miracle by lighting the lights. In other words, and it's very interesting, by the way, because according to Rashi, the Gemara hasn't really mentioned the mitzvah of Hanukkah lights. It mentions Yom Tovim, Halal and Hodah. If that's all you knew, you'd never know there's a mitzvah to light the menorah, which of course there is. That's its own discussion. But according to the Riaz or Beinu Yishaya, indeed, the Gemara has made reference to the lighting of the lights. That's Hodah. Modim alanes badlokas haneiros. And what the Rabbeinu Yishaya is telling us is, well, there's two ways to say it. Either to say that Hodah refers to lighting the lights, but the more meaningful way for us is to say that gives us now an understanding into the mitzvah of lighting Hanukkah lights. It is an act of Hodah. It is not only an act of commemoration, which of course it is, but moreover, it is an act of thanksgiving. As surely as we would say Alanissim in Modim, which is Rashi's understanding, we light the lights. And interestingly, this idea is echoed by the Rambam in the end of Hilchas Hanukkah. In Hilchas Hanukkah, Perek Dalet Halacha Yudveis. Rambam says, Mitzvahs ner Chanukah, mitzvah chaviva hi ad ma'od. I mean, not every mitzvah gets this designation by the Rambam. The mitzvah of Chanukah, mitzvah chaviva hi ad ma'od. It is especially beloved. V'tzarech adam lihizar ba, and a person needs to take great care with regards to this mitzvah. Kidei lehodiyah hanes, in order to make the miracle known. And to increase in praise and thanksgiving to Hashem for the miracles that He performed for us. And so what we see from the Rambam is that he has very explicitly expressed the concept of Shevach and Hodah within the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. It's not only Persumi Nisa. We call it Persumi Nisa to publicize the Nes. It's possible to publicize the Nes without necessarily having our own feelings about the miracle. We just want other people to know about it, and they'll make of it what they will. But the Rambam says it's Lahodiyah HaNes, yes. But there also needs to be an internal goal being fulfilled, an internal process, and that is to give Shevach and Hodah, that we ourselves should appreciate it and should be from an atmosphere of thanksgiving. And indeed, the truth is, we say this, because as soon as we light the menorah, we say the paragraph of Haneros Halalo, and it begins, Haneros Halalo, and Malikim, and Nisim, we say what they're about, but then we conclude by saying, Einan Rishus Lishtamish Bem, Elelo Osam Bavad, we can't see that, we can't use them, and to see them, Kidei Lehodos Ulahala Lishim Chav Gadol Al Nisecha, in order to thank Hashem and to praise Him. And once again, Lehodos comes before Lehallel because we're in the mitzvah of Hodah. So that is actually expressed again explicitly by us in the paragraph of Haneris Halalu. Haneris Halalu goes back to antiquity. Haneris Halalu is from Masechet Sofrim, which is redacted in the times of the Gaonim, which means it's a very early source for us. And that's what we say about the Ner Chanukah. Kedei Lehodos Ulehalel L'Shimcha Gadol. That's why we light. Indeed, in the original version of Masechet Sofrim, you'll find something that I don't know if anyone does this. Our minhag seems to be somewhat different, but the original presentation in Masechet Sofrim of Haneris Halalu is actually to say Haneris Halalu, that whole paragraph, before you light. Before you light, the Seder as it appears there is, you make the bracha sheker lishanu mitzosav tzivano lahadlik ner shel Chanukah. Then you say Haneris Halalu, the whole thing. And then you say Shasanisim, and then you light. And that's actually quoted that way, and codified that way by certain Rishonim, yet somehow our minhag is not that way. However, says Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, you can well understand why Masechet Sofrim says that, because if that's the goal of the mitzvah, you want to have that orientation before you do the mitzvah. You want to know what you're doing before you light, lest you think that you're just lighting a light. Here's a paragraph of orientation telling you that it's Kedei Lehodos Ulehalel. Now you know what it's for, now you can do it, because now that will happen. And moreover, says Rav Shlomo Zalman, even though we do not say it before, for various reasons, but we do actually say it at the time of lighting, because the widespread minhag is, certainly after the first day, where there's more than one light, we do not wait until we've lit all the lights before you start saying Haneris Halalu. The widespread minhag, although some do, but the widespread minhag is that as soon as you've lit the first light, while you're still lighting, you're going to lights two and three and however many others, you already start to say Haneris Halalu. And that's not called interfering, and that's not called interrupting, because really you're describing the mitzvah itself, what it's for, Lehodos Ulehalel. And I believe that this discussion is really of the most profound with regards to Chanukah, because it changes the atmosphere of the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, certainly with so much going on, and there's many also details in halacha, and you want to make sure no one's too near the fire, and everybody's there, and everyone's paying attention. There's a lot of logistics. And yet at the heart of the mitzvah of lighting the menorah is Lehodos Ulehalel. That shouldn't go missing. That's really what the mitzvah is there for. And perhaps, as with David Cohen, Shalit of one of the Rosh Hashivas of Hebron, and Giva Mordechai, comments, when we understand the characterization of lighting the menorah as hodah, it may explain something else. An act of hodah, it may explain something else. You don't have to look too closely at Ner Chanukah to realize that it has Hidur Mitzvah written all over it. I mean, it is so overtaken by Hidur Mitzvah, it takes the whole thing to a completely different level. It is the only mitzvah in Torah which has a concept not only of Hidur, but of Mahadrin Min HaMahadrin. I mean, that's something that you don't find. Every mitzvah has an element of value of Hidur Mitzvah, but Mahadrin Min HaMahadrin, you don't find it anywhere else. Nowadays you find it everywhere, but that's a borrowed term. But in pure terms, Mahadrin Min HaMahadrin is only in Chanukah. And it multiplies the mitzvah so many times over. To such a degree, actually, that most people, I think, if they haven't learned the Gemara, would never know that what they're doing is the third tier of the mitzvah, the level three of the mitzvah, as far as they're concerned. There is no other way to do the mitzvah. Everybody knows. First day one, second day two, third day three. Is there any other way? Yes, there are two prior ways to do the mitzvah, and they're both absolute fulfillments of the mitzvah. The basic mitzvah is like Shabbos lights, really. Ner Ishubeso, not two, just one. Just to write like one light, one person, or any people there are in the household, and that's all you need. Every day of Chanukah, just one light for the whole household. For that, for us, is unheard of. But it's important to know, because if a person should ever find themselves where they only have one light, they shouldn't think, oh, I don't have the materials for the mitzvah of Chanukah. They do have the materials for the mitzvah of Chanukah. They just don't have materials for Mahadrin or Mahadrin Min HaMahadrin. Although we should note that the Shulchan Aruch doesn't even mention those first two levels of the basic mitzvah. And even Mahagrin is only one light for everyone in the house. If it's eight people who live in the house, or five people who live in the house, so you just light eight lights or five lights every day, doesn't change, second day also five, third day also five. That's called Mahagrin already. And we would look upon that as this person doesn't know the halachas of Hanukkah. And neither of those first two levels are even mentioned in Shulchan Aruch. So much is Mahadrim and Mahadrim, did it take over and become the norm. But of course the question is, why is it? What is it about this mitzvah that Hidur mitzvah is so embedded in it? I mean, completely, it's off the charts. So Cohen explains that the source of the concept of Hidur mitzvah, as we know in the Torah, is with the words Zeh Keli V'Anvehu. That's what the Gemara in Masechta Shabbos and Daf Kuf Lamed Gimel and the Shas elsewhere explains. V'Anvehu is not elephant of the mitzvahs, to beautify the mitzvahs, to beautify yourself with the mitzvahs. That's the idea of Hidur mitzvah. It's very interesting to consider the setting of that pasuk Zeh Keli V'Anvehu. It's like it's out of the blue. I mean, where is it from? As we know, it's from Shiras Hayam. And that's very important, because really what that tells us is the mood that moves a person towards Zeh Keli V'Anvehu is, for example, the way the Jewish people felt at Shiras Hayam. They'd just been saved, right? They'd just been delivered miraculously. And what's their response? Their response is, of course I'll do the mitzvahs, but not only will I do the mitzvahs, I'll do them behidur. When a person has a feeling of thanksgiving, there's obligations and there's expression of gratitude. An obligation a person fulfills in one form or another. But an expression of gratitude always comes with a bow on top, comes with a ribbon. It doesn't come just with the bare essentials. I fulfilled my obligation. It's a different atmosphere. It's a different dynamic. And therefore, when the Jewish people are in Oz Yashir mode, that's the time that they'll say, Zeh Keli V'Anvehu. If I do mitzvahs, I'm not just going to do them. I'm going to do them behidur. And that remains a value in every mitzvah. But if it remains a value in every mitzvah, that feeling of Hakara Sato, of Hoda'ah, then certainly when you come to a mitzvah whose entire essence is that of Hoda'ah, I mean, that's what the mitzvah is. The mitzvah is Lehodos U'Lehalel. That's what it's there for. The Halal V'Hoda'ah. Certainly, embedded in its very fabric will be multiple levels of Mahadrin, and Mahadrim in a Mahadrin. And the more we connect those two, I think the more meaning it gives to all of the Hidurim in Leil Chanukah. Of course you want to be Mahadrin in Leil Chanukah. And Leil Chanukah is saying thank you. You want to say thank you in the best possible way. At any rate, what we do see is that the concepts of Halal and Hoda'ah are essential. That is to say, they are defining elements within Chanukah. And it's very interesting to look upon it that way, because it's easy to read the phrase, they made them Yomim Tovim, Bahala V'Hodah, and look upon Halal and Hodah as things that you do on those days. It's more than things you do on those days. To say they made them Yomim Tovim, Bahala V'Hodah, means that's what defines the Yom Tov. Halal and Hodah define the atmosphere of these days. As surely as, again comparing with Purim, Purim is called Yemei Mishta V'Simcha. They are days of Mishta V'Simcha. They're not, as we know, look at Purim. It's not just a day where a person sets aside a certain time to have a Suda or be happy. It's the whole day. It pervades the day. Well, what Mishta and Simcha are to Purim, Halal and Hodah are to Chanukah. They made them Yomim Tovim, the Halal, the Hodah. And Reb Mintzberg explains to give us perhaps a more crystallized appreciation of Halal as opposed to Hodah. They're so close to each other. I mean, we always say them together, Lehodos or Lehalal, Halal and Hodah. So where does each one, in a sense, find its niche? Well, the truth of the matter is that even in terms of the battle, even in terms of, shall we say, Artsoros at the time of our confrontation with Yavon existed on two planes. And one led to the other. They came in and they insisted that we subscribe to their ideals, that we abdicate on our ideals, as the Medrash famously says, which we've discussed on many occasions, you need to say, Kitzvelachem al-Keren Ashur, you need to write prominently, Ein lachem chelet b'elokei Yisrael. You need to give up all of that transcendent aspect of your existence and your aspirations and the way that you do things. If you give that up, then you'll make very good Greeks. And for us, that's an abdication on our very essence as the Jewish people. There is no Jewish people without Chelek Belokei Yisrael. What else do they have? And they have qualities, but of what use are they? And therefore we resisted. And because we resisted, there were decrees. And those decrees were oppressive. And that's a second plane of tzara for us. And as the first tzara was that they were looking to eradicate any sense of the divine within us, divine connection to the divine. And secondly, there was the actual danger that we were in as a result of resisting to that. And there were fatalities and oppression. And it's interesting that set against that, when we come back to Al-Nisim, so the victory with the war is really a two-plane victory, thus. And indeed we say, number one, after Raptas Viva and Tantas Dinam, and they were all held at bay, we say, Ulecha Asis Hashem Gadol V'Kadosh Ba'olamecha, for you made a great and holy name, for yourself, Ula'am HaYisrael Asis HaTshuva Gadol V'Rokun Kayom Hazeh, Kayom Hazeh. And for your people, you saved them. It was a great salvation. Why are we splitting these two separate things? They are separate things, connected obviously. But the point is, they correspond to the two planes of tzara, as if to say, with regards to Greece looking to eradicate the divine from the Jewish lexicon. So the response to that was lachati sashim gola v'kadosh v'lamecha. People, look at that war. I mean, look at it. The Hashmonaim, a band of rebels, taking on the mighty Greek Empire and succeeding to the degree that they did, beyond anyone's expectations, that's a miracle. And that's a Kiddush Hashem. And therefore, in a sense, that's a response to Eilatem Chelet Belokei Yisrael. Hashem says, they absolutely have Chelet Belokei Yisrael. And look what they can do. Thus assisted. So, Lecha Asis Hashem Golev HaKadosh B'Olamecha is a response to that aspect of Tzara. Looking to eradicate our connection with Hashem. And of course, Ula'am HaYisrael, Asisa Tshua Gadola, the salvation of the Jewish people. We were then saved, we were given respite. And therefore, says Rav Mintzberg, corresponding to these two planes of the miracle, they result in Hallel and Hodah. Because Hallel is about praising Hashem, and once again, that corresponds to the element of Lecha Asis Hashem Golo V'Kolosh B'Lamecha. Hallelu Avdei Hashem. Hallelu Hashem Hashem. Hallel is all about promoting that aspect of things, which is what we went to war over in the first place. And then you have the aspect of Hodah, which is thanksgiving for our salvation. So as if to say, Hallel corresponds to Lecha Asis Hashem Golo V'Kolosh B'Lamecha, and Hodah corresponds to Am Chayisrael Asis Hashua Gadola U'Forkan Kayom Hazeh. I would like to add just one point, and with this we'll conclude. Hallel and Hodah, I believe, are not merely responses to the miracle or commemorations of the miracle, but they're actually a fulfillment, an ongoing fulfillment of what the miracle was for. And by that I mean, The confrontation with Yavon, where they demand that we relinquish any sense of connection with the divine, and rather we need to engage only in the temporal and the sensory. So that was, of course, categorically unacceptable to us. There is no Jewish people without Chelek Belokei Yisrael. There's no such thing. There's no Yisrael without Kel. And we went to war. And we won. And the victory, as we mentioned just a moment ago, that itself is an expression of our connection with something infinitely higher than what Greece could ever subscribe to. And moreover, we then received another gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that is the miracle with the oil. The miracle with the oil, ultimately, it's not a separate dynamic to the miracle of the battlefield. It dovetails together, because we went to war over the question as to, is Hashem with us? Are we connected to Him? Is that what makes us different? Is that what we should aspire to? And we say yes, and therefore Hashem helped us. And then He gave us the miracle with the oil. The miracle with the oil, as the Pnei Yeshua points out, was actually not a new miracle. It was standard, quote unquote, for the oil to miraculously burn longer than it naturally could. That's the Ner Marovi. I mean, we received a kind of a much more outsized version of it on this occasion, but the stuff of which the miracle is made is essentially what always happens with the menorah when things are as they should. The Ner Marovi always burns twice as long as it should. And the reason, as expressed by the Gemara, is that is Eidus, testimony Shashchina Shora B'Yisrael, that the Divine Presence resides amongst Israel. That's the ongoing testimony. And therefore we see how appropriate it is that was really the culmination of our victory on the battlefield. Because by assisting us in battle, Hashem told us that he's connected to us. And what more appropriate way to demonstrate that than by the classic expression, which is that the oil burns longer than it should. That's what we went to war over. Eidus la'olam, Shashchina Shera B'Yisrael. But what's important for us to realize is that the confrontation with Greece didn't end there, and the issue didn't end there. If Greece can pay a visit to Israel and make those demands of us and we're in trouble, then certainly when the Jewish people are thrown into Golis and they're surrounded by nations that make those demands of them, they're certainly in trouble. It's not as if the only time we ever faced the issue of insisting on our connection with the divine is when we were in our land and Greece came and made an issue out of it. It's certainly an issue when we're thrown out. So this was, in a sense, a forerunner of that confrontation, which exists until our times. And we're constantly being pressured in that way to relinquish that. And as we know, the Tkufa of the Second Beis HaMikdash was, all things being equal, was not intended or designed to be the full Geula. And there's certain things that from the outset really never came back. And there was no Aaron, and there was all sorts of things missing. But rather, it could have become the final Geula, anything is possible. But things being as they were, all things being equal, it was allowed to the Jewish people to fortify themselves for the Golus to come. Because after 70 years in Babel, they almost fell to pieces. And therefore we were brought back, and allowed to fortify ourselves, Asusiag LaTorah, Torah education, Siag LaTorah, all of those things, and ready to go back. And one of the things that allowed us to go back was the story of Hanukkah. Hanukkah was necessary for us in order to survive the Golos after the second Churban, because Hanukkah is basically embedding within us and instilling within us a fundamental awareness of our connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If we don't have that, we can't survive Golos. And therefore we celebrate Hanukkah every year, because we need it every year. Coming back to the B'nai Yisrael story, Bayamim Ahem, Bazman Hazeh, we needed it then, we need it now. That's why it became part of our calendar. And more than anything else, we need once a year on these days to have reinstilled within us the consciousness of Yesh Lanu Chelek B'Elokei Yisrael. How does that happen? It happens in two stages, and they are called Hallel and Hodah. I believe that as defining elements within the day, days of Hallel and Hodah, it's because Hallel and Hodah achieve what Hanukkah is meant to do for us in Golus. Namely, it reconnects us and reestablishes and reasserts and reinvigorates our sense of a connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it does so in the most celebratory of ways. Hallel and Hodah are not anything about what we need to do. They're all about what Hashem is and what he has done for us. Hallel is awareness of Hashem's greatness, and Hodah is appreciation of his kindness. Those are two of the most non-threatening things one can undertake. But they have one thing in common. They are a very effective way of reestablishing within us a sense of our connection with Hashem, because if Hashem did a miracle for you, that means that he's with you. And he's always with you. And therefore, the Hallel and Hodah, which permeate these 8 days, and which define these 8 days, Hallel and Hodah are the tools with which we every year reacquaint ourselves with the concept that is so important for us in Golus, and that is that the Shechina is with us wherever we are. He's there for us. Hallel, he's there. And also Hallel, the truth of the matter is, as much as we say we praise Hashem, but we really praise Hashem as our God. I think about three psukkimim, we're already saying, Mik Hashem Elokeinu. Who is like Hashem, our God. Even our Hallel about Hashem is because we praise ourselves in his praise. And again, that's a very effective way of reconnecting us with our sense of Shechina Shura B'Yisrael. You go through Hallel, you pretty much end up with two conclusions. Number one, the greatness of Hashem. Number two, and he's for us. Mikim me'afardal, B'tzeish Yisrael me'mitzrayim, all of those things. And then we specifically move to Hodah, which one could almost say is Hallel in action, as if to say awareness of greatness, not only as abstract, the kindnesses that he's done for us. There is no more wonderful way just to bring us back face to face with the idea of Hashem's connection with us. And that's what Hanukkah was set up for in the first place. That we need it in Golos. It was set up in preparation for Golos. We need it in Golos. And that's why the greatest way to go about that, in addition to the lighting of the menorah, which takes on a whole new dimension now, we understand why, if there's any way to describe what the purpose of Hanukkah, it is with the words of the Gemara themselves, Yomim Tovim, the Halav Odah, and that's a chizuk we should take every year, and it should last us the whole year until, Mitzvah Hashem, we reach a point where we do not need only to maintain and assert our connection, but we'll come back and see Ayin Ba'ayin, the Shuma Sheva Sion, should happen B'mehevi Amin Amin.